What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, it's Dr. Will Cole. This podcast is the manifesto for a new breed of health seekers. This is the art of being well. What's up and welcome to the art of being well. I am a leading functional medicine doctor. I get to consult people around the world via webcam, and I'm a New York Times bestselling author. I wrote Intuitive Fasting, The Inflammation Spectrum, Ketotarian, and my brand new book, Gut Feelings. If you want to learn more about my clinical work, the telehealth center, becoming a patient, we actually have brand new telehealth patient options now open. And there's lots of free resources there for you as well. You can check it all out at drwillcole.com. That's drwillcole.com. And listeners of The Art of Being Well, we are giving away free signed books every single month, no matter when you listen to this episode. All you have to do for a chance to win is head on over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review The Art of Being Well there. Tell us what you love about the show. You can leave your Instagram handle in the Apple Podcast review itself, or you can take a screenshot of the Apple Podcast review and message me on Instagram at Dr. Will Cole. And every month, my team and I will be going through the Instagram messages as well as the Apple Podcast reviews themselves. And then I'll reach out to you and I'll ask, hey, what book do you want me to sign? And I'll sign it and I'll send it to you. It's going to be fun. All right, let's get to today's guest. His name is Jean-Philippe Riopi, or just Riopi. That's what I call him. Riopi is a French-English pianist and composer who rose to global prominence through his original compositions without any formal musical training. After a difficult upbringing in rural France, Riopi found both solace and success in the piano, going on to be named a prestigious young Steinway artist and was gifted a piano by Coldplay's Chris Martin to support his work. His three albums, Riopi, Tree of Light, and Bliss, have garnered over 550 million global streams in recent years and found particular resonance with listeners during the pandemic who connected with Riopi's exceptional ability to spread healing through music. Let's get right to it. This is Riopi's Art of Being Well. Riopi, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. I'm such a fan of yours. This is truly an honor for me to be talking with you.
Thank you. Very nice to meet you finally.
I know, it's been a long time coming. So I'm so interested about just how you use music, what it does for people, and the impact you're having on people around the world. Can we start at the genesis of where your craft with music began? Where did your calling with music originate?
Oh, wow. We're going deep.
Let's go way back. Let's go way back. Where did it begin?
I mean, long story short, I think it all started with, you know, with pain, actually, right? I mean, that's probably how it started. I was two years old and very attracted to the piano. We had an old piano and I was just go there, every time I could, I was just go in and try and tingle, you know, the ivory keys, and step by step, I was developing my own little world. That's how it started.
Wow. So you mentioned pain. What did that look like? I mean, do you find that to be the case for many musicians? Is that it's really pain that kind of is the compulsion to that craft?
I thought so for a long time, and that's why I was like, all right, that could explain why some musicians, you know, take so many drugs and blah blah blah. And actually, it wasn't. It was more, you know, the way you focus, right? And basically, when you really love something, you put your intent, right? And where you put your intent, you put your energy, and then dedication. And that's what I did. So as I was very young, you know, I wouldn't understand it, but I had a kind of, you know, I wasn't very lucky, you know, at the start of my life, like I guess so many people, especially nowadays, right? And I took it as an opportunity, right? So I was so, you know, obsessed with the music, the sound, and numbers. You know, for me, it was all about numbers and symmetry and how, you know, rhythm. And that's how I kind of like took this little flame or this little spark, and it started growing and growing. And then it was in my mind all the time. So, you know, I would wake up at night and just going, you know, to the piano and touch the keys, and then having a new song, and, you know, and just, yeah, like this.
Got it. And you grew up in France, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What,
yeah.
What part of France? What was your youth like? What was growing up like?
I grew up in a, you know, in a sect, basically, in a kind of religious cult. So it wasn't great, obviously. But it was a very kind of a lonely childhood as well, you know, which I think made it even probably better for the music at the end of the day. But it was, it's not easy to go back there, and I wouldn't know where to start. But it was a bit tough.
And I'll honestly only share what you're comfortable sharing, but I'm fascinated. We talk a lot about spirituality on the podcast and how it impacts wellness and our physical health. Yeah. And also things that could be, you know, not maybe guised to spirituality, but really be toxic and religious and very hurtful for our health. What type of religious sect was this? What was it like? What one specifically?
Again, like long story short, the guru, the leader, let's say, you know, she used to be in a bigger cult, and then she started her own, you know, and you know, basically really manipulating, you know, psychologically, you know, physically, you know, emotionally, everybody. And right, I mean, my mother was very young, you know, she was 22, she had me and my brother and blah, blah, blah. And basically we ended up in this kind of very, very controlled environment, you know, but to a very like, yeah, to dangerous level of control, because it was on our act of every day, every minute, you know, I was living. So I was not allowed to have really access to the outside world, and, you know, and TV and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and so on.
Well, I'm fascinated by this and how it was, I'm sure, very formative of how you found solace in music. And do you feel like if you didn't grow up that way, do you feel like you would still be doing what you're doing? Do you feel like music would still be made the impact that it has over your life?
It's a very good question. I don't think it had to be this way, but at the same time, when you have I think the bigger the challenge, the bigger the reward. And it's true that, you know, I went through very, very tough challenges, you know, I grew up like this, and my whole childhood was stolen and it was horrible. But through that, I discovered, you know, my love, you know, probably for music that much. And it was like, you know, the way to heal, basically. And that's why you have a lot of hope in my music and a lot of rhythm and a lot. And that's what I hear, you know, at my gigs. You know, 2 days ago, I was, actually yesterday, I just came back from Brussels, and I had this, you know, beautiful concert. And when I have these people coming to me and sharing, I think this wavelength, right, and tell me how much, you know, my music made them feel good, and they were crying the whole way, and it's beautiful. So did it come from that? Maybe, because it helped opening a door, you know. I needed a safety, I needed hope was, you know, and still my word, you know, hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I can't wait to get into that. How long were you in the cult? Was it your entire childhood? Was it years or?
Oh, yeah, no. I left, I was the day of my 18th birthday. It's the day I cried the most in my entire life.
Wow. So you were there your entire time. Was it a Christian type cult? Was it an Eastern sort of yogic cult? What did it look like?
No, not really. It was really weird. And, you know, the issue when it's all you know, you only realize it later and later and later, right? And I mean, the main issue I started, I guess, to kind of wake up when I was, you know, like 14, 15, 16, you know, the kind of, you know, like teenage years, because I was like, if God is love, if God, you know, loves everybody and is about, you know, yeah, just love, why am I being punished all the time? Why am I being beaten up? Why am I, you know, suffering like this? Like, you know, it wouldn't make sense, you know. And so I was questioning more and more. And the more I was questioning, the more the guru was after me and basically was, you know, like, was hell. I mean, literally.
Right. And that's what happens with cults when they don't want you to question, right? So as you were getting older and questioning, 18 comes around. I know when people leave cults, there's sometimes excommunication. You can't see the loved ones that are still in the cult. Was that the case for you? What did that look like?
Yeah, I couldn't see my brothers and sisters and anyone. I just, you know, and yeah, the door was closed and I didn't see any of them for roughly 15 years.
Wow. So, yeah. But you see them now. Have they all left by now?
Yeah, I do. And I love them so much. And it's obviously, you know, we cannot go back, you know, to what we lost, but at least now we've got a good relationship and, you know, working on it and try to be the best we can. Right. I mean,
yeah,
you know, I don't regret. Why? Because regrets don't help me grow up and be a better person. So now we just try and see, you know, the present and the future and be, you know, the best we can. They're happy, they're healthy, they have jobs, you know, they turned out okay. So that's the most important.
Yeah, absolutely. Is the cult still around or is it dissolved at this point?
You know, I believe in the kind of a karma and a law of attraction, right? The guru is still alive. I mean, you know, 2 years ago, there was some very big French TV, you know, doing so I went on national television talking about it. Why did I do it? Because I think people need to understand that the freedom really comes from here. And we all, you know, think, oh, this one is right, I would follow him. And basically, you've got so many cults everywhere. And when a cult starts, it always starts with a good idea, right? A good intent. And then you get the control. So to answer the question, when I talked about it, a lot of people wouldn't really believe me because you live in a cult. So I'm sure you can understand that. You leave something, you know, you experience something. And then people are like, oh, yeah, it's probably, you know, talking bullshit and blah, blah, blah. And then on the other side, you've got, you know, the people that, you know, you kind of grew up with in the cult were like, oh, it's very, very hard psychologically and very lucky because then the television and the journalists, you know, got confirmation by, you know, the army, you know, the secret services, like, you know, the whole thing in France. Yeah, that's true. And, you know, everything he said, you know, was true. So it was a big, a massive kind of catharsis, right? And I know the guru saw that she's still alive. Her husband died. Her daughter died. You know, she lost everything.
Mm. Did the cult have a name? What was the name of it?
No, it wasn't really a name. I mean, it was the name of a castle they grew up in, but then they were moving all the time. I think she had a very good experience, you know, growing up, you know, being in another cult before and then starting her own. So we were still going to school, you know, but in a very funny way. So it was kind of, you know, very, very special.
Yeah. Did you live in sort of a commune or did you like still live on your own growing up?
Yes and no. Yes, we had, you know, the guru giving us people to live with us and, you know, and the guru would come every day to the house and say, you know, do this, do that, be like this, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's, they would just say, you know, you have too much ego and we need to break that. So then, you know,
they fascinating. It is so important for us to be mindful about maintaining muscle strength, muscle health for longevity. If you're interested in living a long, healthier life and supporting longevity, you have to be looking at maintaining muscle health. And up until now, there hasn't really been many supplements on the market to support something called mitophagy, which I'm fascinated about the science of mitophagy, which is the flushing out of old damaged mitochondria, sort of an autophagy for the mitochondria. And it's very much needed for maintaining muscle health and supporting longevity across the board. So when I discovered this new compound called Urolithin A, I was very intrigued. It's derived from pomegranate, but it's very, very hard, nearly impossible to eat or drink enough pomegranates to get the scientifically proven therapeutic dose that's in the scientific literature. This is where a product called MitoPure from Timeline Nutrition comes in. They've created three unique ways to get your daily dose of 500 milligrams. That's what the research is showing. 500 milligrams of urolithin A every day in their products. You can get it in something called MitoPure. They've got a delicious vanilla protein powder that combines muscle building protein with the cellular energy of MitoPure, and a berry powder that easily mixes into smoothies or just about any drink. And also their soft gels for travel, which I also take those on a regular basis. Probably out of all three, that's one I take. But what I would recommend is for you to try their starter packs. You can try each one and see which one you like the best. MitoPure is the first product to offer a precise dose of urolithin A to upgrade your mitochondria, your cellular energy factories, to increase their function, increase cellular energy throughout the day, and improve muscle strength and muscle endurance. It actually took 10 years of research to bring this potent product to market, and I'm personally glad it did because it works. I noticed such a difference in my workouts, such a difference in my brain function and energy, and I know I'm supporting my cellular health and longevity. Timeline is offering 10% off your first order of MitoPure. Go to timelinenutrition.com/WillCole and use code WillCole to get 10% off your first order. That's TimelineNutrition.com/WillCole. TimelineNutrition.com/WillCole. I recommend again the trying their starter pack with all three formats. If you have listened to The Art of Being Well for any given time, you know how much I am such a fan of ClearStem and the brilliant minds behind it. ClearStem is a revolutionary skincare brand that is both anti-aging and anti-acne with zero hormone disruptors or toxins. This amazing brand was founded in San Diego by two amazing women who are friends of the show and friends of me personally, Danielle and Kaylee, who've been on the podcast twice. The first time they blew your mind, so we had to have them come back. If you haven't listened to those episodes, go back and listen to both the episodes that Kaylee and Danielle from ClearStem have been on the podcast. ClearStem, again, is anti-aging, anti-acne, and non-toxic all at the same time. It was formulated by the acne guru herself, Danielle, and she shares all her wisdom on the episodes, and she provides these amazing products for all of you. There are zero pore-clogging ingredients and zero toxins in these products. It's based on over 8 years of clinical work at the San Diego Acne Clinic. And they also have this amazing new formula, the hormonal acne supplement called Mind Body Skin, that is the best natural alternative to Accutane. So you have to go to clearstemskincare.com and use code WillCole for 15% off your order. That's clearstemskincare.com. Use code WillCole at checkout for 15% off.
I'm Arielle Lori, host of the Blonde Files podcast, where every Wednesday I cover all things wellness. After nearly dying from addiction almost 9 years ago, I have been on a mission to live my best, most fulfilled life, and I'm sharing everything with you, from how to achieve optimal health and well-being to the best beauty tips and even cosmetic procedures. I cover it all with raw, candid conversations with the industry's top experts and inspirational guests. Make sure to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode.
So you were young and you taught yourself to play the piano yourself. You were completely self-taught at that start, correct?
Yeah, fully self-taught. Yeah.
Wow. Do you feel like that was a gifting that was just innate? I mean, what did that early, I can only imagine, it probably was immersive, but what did that initial teaching you yourself how to play the piano, what did that look like?
It's funny because as I taught myself the piano, I taught myself everything else, right? I think if you put again, you know, you intend towards something and you try out, right? I mean, I was, you know, I still remember it, right? Listening to one note and then another one and then counting. I was counting all the time, right? Because it was my self-coping mechanism. So I had a lot of, OCDs. But those OCDs, I think, were in the end, it worked out, you know. So, yeah. So you start, you know, using this, and then you do, you know, then I was doing some arpeggios, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 1, 3, 3, and then, you know, going faster and faster, and then the rhythm. So I find it funny because it's almost like it was organizing itself, you know. I was taking a theme and then two notes. Okay, I want this. I want to try this. Oh, this sounds good. So I was just listening, you know, rather than learning something from... It's a different part of the mind, right? I mean, of the brain. Mm-hmm. And that's how I started music. So I've always been composing, you know, I started mm-hmm. like this.
Yeah. Well, and I know a lot of people became aware of your work over the pandemic specifically. So I'd love to talk about that and, you know, how your music and the sound that you put out in the world was really brought a sense of peace and comfort to people in a strange time, a scary time, isolating time in human history. I first heard about you. I don't know if I've told you this before, but I first heard about you. I was taking a Peloton class during the pandemic. It was a meditation. It was a DT's class, I think it was. And I was in the middle of the lockdown, whatever, and they had an entire Ryopi meditation class on Peloton. What was that like? And just during that season of life, I think your music spoke to a lot of people. So what were those years like for you?
I mean, I don't even realize. I think I'm really happy, but you know, the funny thing, it was when the pandemic started, you know, just before that, I had a world tour planned, right? It was, you know, in Asia, in the US, everything, and I was very excited. And then the pandemic arrives, boom, everything went to ashes. And then I'm like, oh, what am I going to do, you know? And I didn't really stress out much because, you know, it's life. You don't control anything. So I was, you know, I was just doing my live and I did, you know, some stuff online. And then, yeah, I was seeing that people were picking up on my music and sending me more and more messages. And that was extraordinary for me, you know, to receive so many personal, very, 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 very personal messages from people, them, you know, what the experience they have towards my music. Because how can I, you know, my experience towards my own music was very difficult and tough and, you know, and painful. And I received messages from people saying how much my music has helped them, you know, mm-hmm. has helped them grow and feel better and going through death and loss and, you know, and a lot of very dark times. And that is the most beautiful and, you know, because I feel useful. I feel good, you know, that you do something that helps people that much for sure. That's the mm-hmm. most beautiful thing for me. Yeah, it's amazing.
Absolutely. And for people that haven't listen to your music yet, they're obviously going to listen after this conversation. How would you describe it? I mean, this thing that we're talking about, this art that we're talking about, how would you describe it?
It's tough because, you know, first of all, we have a lot of, you know, preconceived ideas about everything. All I can say is actually quite a few people at my gigs come and say, hey, you know, I don't like piano. I don't like, you know, I listen to like hardcore metal. I listen to hip hop music. I had that in Brussels, you know, yesterday. And it's like, but your music has something that just takes me to another level. And I think that's why it's good to experience live as well, because it's my life that I put through, you know, this music. So, of course, you have some very mellow and very slow. And then you also have some very, very energetic, full of life, full of rhythm, full of, you know. So it's like I'm using the piano, but as a full orchestra. That's how I see it. Because I was free to do so, right? That's why using all the, you know, all the notes, everything I could, 88 keys, just, you know, and everything goes together and it's mixing rhythms and frequencies and vibrations and then the pedal. I feel like I'm, you know, like driving, you know, like driving a car, driving, it's always, so you have this feeling of, you know, of running, escape, you know, and hope and, you know, going to, for me at least, when I was making all of this, when I am making all of this, going somewhere for a better world, you know, something that just gets out and, right? I don't know if that makes any sense.
Oh, it makes complete sense. So it sounds like quite a spiritual experience for you, an intense, but creative, but yet spiritual experience. Do you see it as a spiritual process?
So I have an issue with the spiritual word. But
I would
yes.
imagine so. I would imagine so. So let's talk about that. So I was actually a part two of that question was, I wonder if your whole concept of spirituality has shifted because of your upbringing.
You know, it's funny. I always say, you know, the piano saved my life the first time. And then meditation saved me the second time. Because, you know, I thought, all right, I'm making my music and that's all I'm going to do. And that's all I'm going to leave, you know. And basically, it would be... It's funny going back to, you know, to your past, you know, all these emotions coming back to you. But anyway, so, you know, fighting through music, right? That's what I did. And then one day I make a living, right? I make a living on my music. I'm still very, very, very tense, very anxious, very depressed. I still have this trauma in my body, basically. And mm-hmm. I didn't really understand it at the time. And I've got a very good example. I did this big event in 2011, I think it was, and you might, I think you know the people. It was, you know, in honor of Gwyneth Paltrow at the Art Club in London.
Oh,
and,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I did not know that. She listens to all the episodes, so she's hearing this right now. That's amazing.
All right. But it was actually quite a crazy story because I'm invited by Elizabeth Salzman, so with, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow doing this big thing. And at the time, it was a bit surreal, right? So I ended up there with all these people, you know, looking great, being, you know, and I remember being with my suit, like absolutely outside of it and be like, whoa, you know, so scared, extremely scared. And at the middle of the dinner, they're like, ding, 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 we've got a special guest, you know, Jean-Philippe Riopi is going to play. And I'm like, oh, and I'm, my whole body shutting off. I'm so hot and I'm like, oh my God, you know, I really thought I was gonna pass out because you've got so much pressure and it's not even a concert, right? It's going in the middle of the dinner, you've got everybody looking at you and you're like, oh my God. And that was 2011 exactly. And so I go on stage and then I see also a husband at the time, Chris Martin, at the table, and I'm like, oh God, you know, that was, you know, the proper pressure. I go to the piano, I play my piece. And I remember when I just finished, I thought like, as nobody clapped, and I was like, oh my God, I failed, you know, I failed miserably. And then I stand up and people applaud. And then, you know, Chris Martin was actually very, very nice and very kind to me. So kind to me that they actually got me a piano on which I recorded my first album, Riopi, which is just totally insane. Yeah, it's
wow,
totally insane.
That's a small world. I had no idea about that. It's crazy.
Yeah, it was absolutely crazy. And yeah, and I composed my track, I Love You, on that piano. I mean, Drive. And yeah, I mean, it was just incredible. But I mean, I say that because the funny thing is, you know, I was still, you know, a very struggling musician and, you know, but the amount of pain I was feeling in my body, it was the first time that I realized how much, you know, my body and my mind, you know, were connected, because the pain was in my stomach, you know, and I realized that that's how I grew up, because with all this anxiety or this stress, I was sick, you know, I was sick from a very early age because, you know, so I couldn't drink milk. I couldn't, you know, my whole body was shutting down already because of the trauma of my life. And then, you know, when I was playing, when I had this, especially this event, because it was very, very scary for me, I still remember the pain, you know what I mean? And your whole body get like, not even nervous. It's beyond that. You feel that you're going to die. And I was like, oh my God, but that's what I want to do in my life. You know, play the piano for people. How am I going to do that?
To live your healthiest, longest life possible, you need to understand what's going on inside. Inside Tracker takes a personalized approach to health and longevity from the most trusted and relevant source, your body. Inside Tracker was created by experts in aging, genetics, and biometric data from Harvard, Tufts, and MIT. Inside Tracker provides personalized health analysis and clear recommendations, plus an action plan on how to live healthier longer. Inside Tracker can also calculate your biological age. You're going to be shocked by the result here. You can actually see the rate at which you're aging from the inside out compared to your chronological age, as well as ways to lower your biological age. The thing I love most about Inside Tracker is that they give you recommendations on things you can actually control to optimize and support your health, like what foods to focus on based on your labs, which supplements are right for your body based on your data, and what workouts are right for you based on your labs, and other lifestyle choices. And did you know you can use your HSA, HRA, and FSA, the FlexSpend account, health savings account, to buy any Inside Tracker plan, which means you can purchase Inside Tracker using your tax-free dollars. For a limited time, you can get 20% off the entire Inside Tracker store when you sign up right now. So if you're ready to get a crystal clear picture of what's going on inside your body, along with science-backed recommendations to optimize what's not working for you, then visit insidetracker.com/artofbeingwell. That's insidetracker.com/artofbeingwell. Did you know that Americans spend an average of 90% of their time indoors? According to the EPA, indoor air could be 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air. And in some cases, it could be 100 times more polluted. New data from the World Health Organization shows that 9 out of 10 people breathe air that exceeds WHO pollution limits, and that air pollution is responsible for nearly 7 million premature deaths across the world every single year. Airborne allergens are the most common allergy triggers, such as pollen, pet dander, dust mites, and mold. I see biotoxins like this drive inflammation for so many people. So what's the solution? I am happy to introduce an air purifier that captured the attention of established media outlets such as CNN, Money, ABC, and more. Air Doctor filters out dangerous contaminants and allergens so your lungs don't have to. Air Doctor uses an ultra HEPA filter that's been independently tested to remove 99.99% of tested bacteria and viruses. Allergens can vary in size, but the average pollen size is about 25 microns. Air Doctor virtually removes 100% of particulates as small as 0.003 microns in size. I have Air Doctors at the telehealth center here. I have them in my home as well. Air Doctor features whisper jet fans that are 30% quieter than the fans found in ordinary air purifiers. It's very quiet, my friends. I can have meetings with no problem. It's not interrupting. It's not, you know, I don't have to turn it off to be able to hear myself think. These things are quiet and very effective. So head to airdoctorpro.com, use promo code WillCole, and depending on the model, you'll receive up to 40% off. You're saving up to 40% off of these amazing air purifiers. Lock this special offer in right now by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code WillCole. That's airdoctorpro.com. Use promo code WillCole to get that amazing deal.
A few years after that, I started making a living and I was very lucky. I had my piano because at the time, so Chris Martin, so generous and kind, right? Get me my piano, but I didn't have money to put it somewhere. So, because I was living in
you
a very small
room. You
live on
your piano.
I was like, oops. So, and obviously I didn't tell him, you know, because then he invited me to his show and I was very kind. He was like, how's the piano? I was like, yeah, it's great. Thank you.
So, it's on the streets of Paris.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was living in London.
Oh, okay. Know?
Yeah, yeah. I left France when I was 21 and then went to London. But you know, 2 years after that, 2013, I make a living. I compose for I make advertising and I compose for movie trailers and I do some private gigs and stuff. So it really, you know, taking off. And then I was still very, very depressed. And I don't understand. Mm-hmm. I've got my flat, I've got my piano, you know, I'm very lucky. I make a living doing my music. And then I started, you know, having more and more friends because I guess, you know, you're a musician and it's cool. And then I don't know how to say it without being like, but let's, you know, fuck it. I just speak my mind. That's what I do. You know, everything, all this kind of material and all this thing. And, you know, and I went on, you know, on private jets and, you know, and in Asia doing, you know, the crazy life that basically is being advertised, you know, on TV and in the society. You know, you make money and you're rich and you're very happy. So I wasn't rich, but I had so many friends who were, and I was doing all of this. And I ended up basically having this problem in my soul, being like, you know, and I was, you know, drinking a lot and you know, all these parties and it was killing me because it didn't make me happy. It didn't make me feel better. And then I collapsed, basically, in my flat one day. You know, I was stoned as hell and with all everything. And I was like, I can't, it's not healing me. It's not, you know. So all the pain was exaggerated because of all of this. And my music, I was just, you know, and the only time I was happy was just making music. But you can't make music 24 hours.
Yeah.
So then I stopped everything. Everything. I stopped drinking. I stopped, you know, smoking. I stopped going out. I lost so many friends and I didn't care because it was for my survival. I had to do this. And I fasted for like almost, I can't remember exactly, but a long time, almost 3 weeks. I lost so much weight and I had an out of body experience. And it was absolutely insane. And when I had that, then I started reading books about that. All right. I had this experience, but I grew up in a cult, so it doesn't make sense. You know, I want to understand. I want to go further. So I started reading books. I started basically reading, you know, everything I could find on the brain and how to survive and be happy. Because now, I mean, I really needed this. And it was very hard for me to find answers in the spiritual community because I grew up in a cult. And, you know, I bought kind of, you know, little tools to help me understand, you know, the brain and how my music also comes from. I was all right, you know, because when you make music, it comes from a part of you that you don't really know existed. And I could see that this part was not with the drugs and the alcohol and everything at all, actually. And some people and people like me, when you're too sensitive, it doesn't work. It's quite the opposite. You know, since I haven't had, you know, a drop of alcohol, I mean, I stopped everything like roughly 10 years ago. And it changed my entire life. I started, you know, doing all this, doing a lot of yoga and meditating every day and then doing, and that's how I ended up doing something with, you know, the Calm app, you know, because I did some, you know, tracks for that, because I used all my technical thing that I was doing for my music, my own music, taking people somewhere else, right? And then adapting it to a functional music as well, right? Yeah. And that's how I found the kind of peace. You know, I have a very discipline. And for my gigs, for example, now, I don't have this pain at all. I'm very happy. I'm feeling great. You know, before that, I do my breathing. I do my yoga. You know, I don't eat, actually. I never eat in the evening, right? It's very, very rare. But I feel better, you know? And you know that much, much more, you know, more than I do. But when you experience it, and I had to, because I had so many health problems since I was a kid. And I changed everything, right? That's why I became, you know, I'm literally, you know, a vegan, right? I mean, vegetarian, but vegan more, because I don't, you know, have milk and all this stuff because it gets to my body. You know, I cannot eat meat, you know, same. I don't know why my body rejects it. And when I don't eat much, I feel more alive. It's easier to cope. I feel like, you know, I breathe. And I had my label, you know, Warner Music. They came to one of my gigs and one of the women in Netherlands, she was like, Jean-Philippe, now I hear you breathe. And it was amazing, you know, that she could see it, because when I make music now, I breathe. So and the body's holistic, right? So it just goes and goes and goes. And then the energy flows. And it's amazing because I can give much, much more. You know, I'm in a good place. So I can translate and transcend that to the people in the audience. So the energy gets, you know, much bigger and much more intense.
Oh, my goodness. I had no idea about that part of your journey and how it came to be. And you found wellness. I mean, you really cleaned up your life, became sober, and looked at the foods you were eating and meditation and yoga. And my next book is called Gut Feelings. We're actually talking about the things that you lived out in your life, how trauma and stress and shame and how that dysregulates your gut brain axis and your nervous system, creating food sensitivities, inflammation and anxiety and depression and fatigue, and how you really implemented these practices to support the parasympathetic, that gut, that resting, digesting, hormone balanced state to heal. And it's something that I see with patients all the time. And you really integrated these aspects of wellness within your life. Clean Simple Eats is on a mission to elevate lives through food, fitness, and the best tasting supplements on the planet. I can attest, I'm obsessed with their Simply Vanilla Protein Powder. You have to check this out. Each serving of this contains 20 grams of grass-fed whey protein. The whey is cold processed from start to finish, keeping all the nutrients intact. Their formula also contains an enzyme blend to help your digestive system break down the protein into usable amino acids. This is a complete protein. They have 22 delicious all-natural flavors. Like I said, I love the Simply Vanilla. It tastes like ice cream. It's so freaking good. But they have tons of other unique flavors as well. They have brownie batter, coconut cream, chocolate peanut butter, cake batter, strawberry cheesecake, and mint chocolate cookie, just to name a few. One of the things I love about Clean Simple Eats is their high ingredient standards. Their protein powder is non-GMO, gluten-free, third-party tested, which I love, always grass-fed, and made with zero artificial ingredients. This stuff is so good. This protein powder is creamy and smooth. There's no chalky texture, which so many protein powders have. It tastes so good. I love it. I know you're gonna love it as well. Visit cleansimpleeats.com and use code WILLCOLE at checkout for 20% off your first order. That's cleansimpleeats.com. Use code WILLCOLE at checkout for 20% off your first order. I'm curious with your, do you recoil at that flippant maybe term that I used of spirituality? Would you call yourself spiritual? Because oftentimes people that do meditation and yoga obviously have some sort of spiritual aspect of it. How would you describe that for you personally?
So it's the term I have an issue with, but I also have a problem, an issue with the term meditation. Because for me, you know, for me, it's not a trend. It's something that is very much needed in my life. I do it twice a day, morning and evening, like, you know, like my breathing and my cold shower, my meditation, you know, and, you know, I don't eat much sugar at all. I mean, I'm very, you know, in a, but it's, I don't have a choice. It's my little line, you know, if I go away from that, I lose it. So it helps me maintain, you know, and people say that as well. Oh, but you're there. I'm like, you're never really there. You're there, but then you have to maintain to keep, you know, happy. And I know where my happiness and my balance and my, you know, kind of equilibrium, you know, stands. So am I spiritual? Which means, I don't know. I mean, Einstein said, you know, tell me, you know, do you believe in God? And, you know, and Einstein replied, tell me what you imply by God first, and then I tell you if I believe in it. And I think for me, it's a bit like this, you know, if I don't really believe in, you know, in a God as a, you know, entity telling you what to do at all because of my upbringing. However, I really believe in nature. I really believe in, you know, in compassion. And I really believe also that when I do my meditations and I find this point of consciousness, I have the most beautiful experiences ever, which is, you know, beyond trend, beyond material, beyond, you know, you just find this place where in your mind, it's, you know, it's unbelievable. And only by doing it, it's like learning the same way I taught myself the piano, right? I mean, with my keys and, but, you know, with the piano, you know what people can do because you see it materially. With meditation, you cannot because it's only what people say. But what I can, you know, really, really say for people, you know, it is incredible when you really do it. But it has to take, you know, a leap of faith, I guess, to implement it in your daily life. It's not like this that it's going to work. It's going to take a few days, a few weeks, and it works. I think, you know, I cannot wait to read your books, but it's a holistic part, right? So am I spiritual? Yeah. If it's like this, then yes, absolutely.
Yes, I get it. I totally understand it. And what I hear you saying, and it's the same with me too, it's not about the mind or theology or ideas, which is just, it's just ideas, right? It may or may not be true. It's idea. But what you're experiencing, what you're talking about and explaining is an experience. And how do you integrate these things that actually shifts things in your body that you can experience, this experiential benefit of meditation and breath work and yoga or whatever it is. I love that. And there's so much compelling research in the scientific literature looking at how music and music therapy, sound baths, things like this can actually improve people's pain levels or improve things like anxiety and depression, improve different autoimmune responses as far as flare-ups are concerned. And it's used in many different modalities in the scientific literature and in the clinical setting. I can only imagine the stories that you hear. Can you share a story that you've heard on what your music has done for their life specifically?
I wouldn't even know where to start. I mean, 2 days ago, I had this woman telling me that her mother, you know, passed away, and listening to All of You, you know, on the loop really saved her and took her to another world and helped her heal. I had, you know, in Berlin a few months ago, this man coming with his sister-in-law because her husband, so his brother, was dying at the hospital. He was in a coma. And they put my music, apparently was the only thing he reacted to, you know, before dying. And I received so many people like this. It's almost like a therapy. And to be honest with you, I don't want to change anything, but it's heavy emotionally because they tell you this and you feel your pain, you know, and I'm sure, you know, you seem very sensitive as well. When, you know, when you hear someone saying something, you feel exactly experience exactly the same pain as if it was yours. And but the beauty is it's positive because it's helping them. You know, it's helping, you know, apparently a lot of people. So it makes me, of course, you know, makes me feel very, very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I'm the same way. We're empathic people. And just as this podcast really talks about, it's what I do in functional medicine. There's a science and art, just like with your craft, there's a science and art to this healing and this tool of music. Do you have any, as an empathic person, do you have any protective mechanisms that you do to sort of not hold and carry all of that weight that you can get from a live show or hearing these stories?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I have a very, very healthy life. You know, I'm very well balanced. You know, I go to bed early and, you know, at my gig sometimes, of course, it's a bit late, but when I go, you know, back to the hotel, I don't go and party. I never drink, never do all this stuff, which is very important for me. You know, I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying for me, it's my experience and it helps me make better music. So being in a better position as well, you know, in better health, to be able to give the music and be able to communicate with the people. So after the gigs, you're right, sometimes you've got the dopamine, so you're really high. So what I do, you know, I do a few stretches, I do a bit of breathing, and then I meditate every night before going to bed to really lower my brain waves. And then I'm gone and then it works.
I love it. What's meditation look like for you specifically? Do you have a specific type of meditation? People are, I'm sure, very curious about what this looks like for you.
I mean, because it's true now that meditation is so trendy that you've got so many things. And sometimes I'm like, it must be very hard for people to start because it's so many things. Oh, try this, that. But I mean, and I'm not saying it doesn't work, but it's for me, the definition of meditation is to really get all these thoughts around like a cloud going away, right? So not stopping them, but just accepting them. They go. And then when you refocus, and I just talk to my subconscious, focus. And I just listen to my breathing. I don't affect it. And then in a few minutes, as I do it now a lot, you know, I've been doing it for years, in a few minutes, maybe 30 seconds, 1 minute, sometimes if I'm a bit more tense, 5, 6, and then it goes away. You see? Mm-hmm. And that's how, and I feel it in my, you know, I feel it on my skin. I feel it in my body. I just, you know, and that's the most amazing. Now this said, if I'm very, very tense and it's a very intense gig, then I will try, you know, to do a visualization as well, right? Sometimes I do that. But my main meditation, I listen to my breathing and I say to myself, focus. That's it. So, see what I mean? But so it's a long conversation. Then, because of course, the gratitude works, you know, for some stuff, you know, it's a whole world, right? And it depends what you do, of course, for healing as well. You know, we've got studies now more and more, which is amazing.
Absolutely. And you're combining, and for people just to bring this home a little bit more concretely, what I feel like people are doing with your music, what I've done with your music is it's the actual benefits of music therapy itself, even if you're not meditating to it. But then on top of that, the benefits of meditation, it has, to me, an amplified effect. You have two children, right? How old are they? Do they meditate with you at all?
Oh, you're going to laugh. Yes. And they send me videos. I mean, like, you know, my wife was, you know, sending a video when I'm not there, and you see them like doing the yoga and they do, and they sit. But you know what I do? So 3 and 4 and a half, when I take them to bed and they don't want to sleep, I do the breathing. And when I don't do it, they're like, Papa, just do the breathing with us. So I lie down, I start doing my breathing, and in less than 10 minutes, they sleep.
That's amazing. It's a great tool to support sleep. Definitely.
It is, right?
For sure. As far as your wellness, I always think, as far as me consulting patients and you eating this clean diet, does your whole family eat the way that you eat? Does your wife eat the way that you eat, or is it different in the home?
No, I mean, it's very similar. But of course, you know, when you grow up and the way you do things, sometimes it's going to be a bit different. And I am, my wife always says, I don't know how you do it to have this discipline. But she hasn't been where I've been.
So true.
That's why I know I cannot go back there, you know, without fear, because obviously for me, it's all about just getting rid of fear. And that's the best way, you know, again, to meditate and feel great. But yes, you know, they're very healthy. They drink and eat a lot of, you know, very good stuff. They're vegetarian as well. Obviously, you know, it's a family thing. It's very important. I mean, for me to be in my environment where, you know, we're on the same wavelength and, you know, mm-hmm. it's important. Thank you.
I love that. As a performer, what's your favorite, probably hard to pick, but what's your favorite song to perform live?
I would say that one is hard, but two, I would say I Love You and Drive.
Love that. And as a songwriter, what was the hardest? Is there a song that's the hardest for you to put together and to write?
That's a very good question, because actually, yes, my song Ukiyo. Because Ukiyo, and it's funny because Ukiyo is, you know, the part of the tree, you know, Tree of Light, you know, the one that got, you know, number one. It's really weird because we lost a baby when my wife was pregnant, like 7 mm-hmm. months, you know, which is, I know, a bit of a taboo in our society, and which mm-hmm. shouldn't, because it's very hard for men, but for women, it's even, I mean, and it was a very scary, very, very, very difficult moment. And I started making, you know, the beginning of Ukiyo. And I was actually, I just landed in China, you know, in Beijing. And then my sister-in-law calls me and I feel it, you know, you feel things, you know, and I'm like, oh God. So it was a nightmare. I had to go back, you know, straight away. I just landed straight away to Paris, right? And I go to the hospital and I see, you know, and that song was just in my mind, but like something a bit blurry, like it was there. And it wasn't made in one go. It had, you know, mm-hmm. these several things. It was very, very weird. And then after that, she got pregnant with our daughter, Liana. And it's funny, as if her was healing me and giving me, it was a really weird, you know, thing. And that's why I am, like, let's say, spiritual, because we don't control anything, right? I mean, sometimes it's synchronicity. You don't know where it comes from, but it's here. And the more, mm-hmm. you know, mindful you are, the more you see it. And yes. I remember it was so tough for us that, you know, I was just on the piano in London, you know, and then I hear more these, you know, these sounds coming back together, the second part, and then the, you know, the change and these harmonies. And then I hear da 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 da. And I was like, you know, I felt like a rope, like someone giving me a rope to take and go to a place. It was very, very intense. And then yeah, and then Ukiyo came to life, and I was playing all the time, all the time, all the time. And then my little girl, she was like, I think a year and a half, like not more, a year and a half. And then she sings, da, 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 da. And I'm like, what? So it was,
That's a great, crazy story. Thank you for sharing that. Is there any, like, I'm curious, are there any other instruments that you play other than the piano, or is that, what's that like for you?
Yeah. Yeah. I play many things because I love music. You know, I have a handpan. I've got, you know, guitars and I've got, you know, djembes and darbukas and you know, I have a gong here that I love.
I see the massive gong behind you for people that are listening and not watching this. Yeah, do you play the gong too?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's absolutely, because it has, you know, different ways, you know, to just one sound for me. There is not one sound, you know, even if it's one note, one vibration, the way you make it, you can go, you know, way further. So I love exploring things and, you know, and flutes and, you know, like everything basically that has a sound, I want to play it.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. My friend, this has been a great conversation. As you know, the podcast is called The Art of Being Well. At the end of every episode, we have your Art of Being Well. This is Ryopi's Art of Being Well. I want to pick your brain about a few different things within wellness. The first question is, what's the worst tasting healthy food that you still eat, but because it's so good for you, it tastes horrible? What's that food for you?
A croissant. That's a very good question. It is my little péché mignon, we would say in France, you know, my guilty pleasure. I don't eat flour and bread and stuff, but I'm French. And once in a while, I'm going to have a little, you know, okay, I'll have a croissant. But
I love it. So that's your guilty pleasure, but it tastes good. Do you have any health, like on the opposite side of that, do you have a healthy food that you eat, but you do it because of its health benefits, but it tastes really bad? It tastes like a gross tasting food.
It's a very good question, but I would say, no, I don't. Why? Because my wife always says, I can eat anything that is good and healthy. You know, sometimes I just take the vegetables, I mix them in the blender, like raw, you know, quite often actually, and I drink this because I know my body needs it. But I found other ways, you know, like other ways to be happy. Food in itself now doesn't make, it's not, you know, for me, it's not a drive anymore at all. I'm not like, oh yeah, let's go to the restaurant. Because I think it's too much sugar, too much. And then I feel it in my body. I feel it in the quality of my consciousness. So I don't really, you know, care for food, you know, that much. You know, only the little croissant, as I said, because it tastes good. But the other way, I don't really have any, no.
I love it. So, I mean, you've kind of shifted your whole paradigm towards food itself. It's utilitarian in some ways for you. It's you know what, it makes you feel good. Consciousness-wise, body-wise, but it's not like, oh, yeah, delicious. But there's a lot of good, delicious vegetarian and vegan foods out there too. Well, yeah. If you had to pick your ideal dream vacation, what's your dream vacation, dream holiday?
Well, that's really funny because you would have asked me, you know, 10 years ago, I would have said, I don't know, like, you know, by the beach in the, you know, something very exotic. And nowadays, I don't really have a dream vacation anymore as such, you know. I think, yeah. So I'm very happy about that, which means I don't have a huge desire to go somewhere else. You know?
Yeah, maybe your life's a vacation. I don't know. Maybe you're...
Yeah, I mean, that's how I want to see it. And that's, you know, and I work very hard at it. And as I say to people, you know, I'm far to be perfect, but I'm always trying, you know, every day for me is a, you know, a way to be a better person, more compassionate and kind to yourself, which is the first thing, right? I hated myself for so long and now I accept myself. And it's funny, it changes everything, right?
Yeah, absolutely. What are two supplements? Do you take supplements? And if so, what are two supplements that have been the biggest supporters for you, the ones you found the most benefit from?
All right, so that's a, that's a good one. I'm a bit of a weirdo maybe for that, but first I distill my own water.
Okay.
So, yeah, I distill it and then I do remineralize with electrolytes, you know, so I know I'm a, but it's...
This is the place to talk about this, Ryopi.
That's what I thought. I was like, you know what? You know, damn it. But it's, I mean, this is something I really love. Like my water, I love drinking my water. I mean, it's absolutely free of everything. And then I, you know, in terms of supplements, I do take, you know, sodium ascorbate, you know, as you
vitamin
know, absolutely. So orthomolecular, you know, medicine. I actually, my kids, it's, you know, they, when they get sick, they just take that in high doses and, you know, that's it. And it works so well, right? I mean, you've got ways to do it, I'm sure you know, but this is incredible. So I do this, and I mean, pretty much that's it. You know, it's I try and not take much, but I will do, of course, once in a while if my body needs it. You know, a bit more electrolytes, but perhaps and mm-hmm. you know, but electrolytes, vitamin C, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I have to say, electrolytes are so I think underestimated by the common person how powerful they are. The amount of people that I see struggling with fatigue and brain fog and cravings. That and migraines, just if they're getting proper sodium, potassium, magnesium, calcium in their life, it really can be, because it's such a powerful tool that our body uses for nerve conduction and electrical impulses in the body. So how much are you adding it in as you're distilling it? You're just adding in the electrolytes back in. Do you have a specific electrolyte supplement that you like?
So I've been using the, I think it's called TMS, TMS Port, I think. Okay. It's an American brand, and I think it's very good. It's very effective. A teaspoon, right? So sometimes I put it in. Of course, I mean, most of the time I put it in the, you know, in the distilled water, for sure. It's also an American brand, Durasteel. You know, my machine, which is, for me, it's unbelievable because it's H2O, right? People, because I had people telling me, I had a doctor, a French doctor, telling me, "Oh my God, you're killing yourself." I'm like, "Well, I've been doing it for years and." And also that's what you give to a kid, right? You give, you know, not mineral water to a baby. You give, so if the baby can take it, then I can take it. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, "Yeah, but you need minerals." Like I say, "Yeah, but it's inorganic minerals." So, mm-hmm. and the soils, you know, are really shitty all over the planet. So, you know, we need to have, you know, good. And so, yeah, doing that, it's absolutely amazing. Yeah. But did you ask a question that I just.
No, you answered it. So what's the name of the machine that distills your water?
Durasteel.
Okay, great.
I've got two. So I've got one, which is the Mega Home. So that's a small one for like, I think it's 5 liters and it's great. You just put it, bam, bam. So if you go, you know, it's really practical. And the other one is Durasteel. And this one makes like, you know, 40 liters automatic all the time. You know, it's linked on the, you know, on the water pipe, which is really great. Because also our skin, right? I mean, I feel it on my skin, right? If you got good water, it absorbs your skin, your hair, everything. Mm-hmm. It's oxygen, basically, right? And the H2O, yeah. It's not H2O plus shit in your skin.
It shouldn't be, but it is for many people. You're right, sadly. What's your favorite restaurant in the world? You get to travel the world on tour. What's your favorite restaurant in the world? And when you're there, what do you order?
God, I don't know if I'm going to be hated or liked, but well, I think the main issue I have with most restaurants, it's funny you say that because I am looking for in my head to like an amazing restaurant where I can just get raw vegetables, you know, and be like, wow, it's organic and it's good for me and it's healthy. And then I feel good, you know, but most restaurants, I don't even know what I'm eating. Even if it's a 5-star, you know, or if it's the same stuff for me, it's full of sugar. Even the vegan restaurants, they add a lot of sugar and my body is very, I mean, my mind, I'm very receptive to that. So I don't really crave, you know, for restaurants. And if you ask me, "Oh, but do you love going to there?" I'm like, "No, I really don't like it." You know, it's tough because I know people and I'm a bit of a sociable person because I have to. So I do have, you know, when I'm on tour and it's really tough. So, but they know, they bring me organic vegetables and fruit to my, you know.
You just have a pile of broccoli, raw broccoli.
And I love it. And I really love it.
I love it. That is the mindset. That's the mindset to have. So what do you find that it's, I mean, when you are traveling, do you stock the fridge up with fruits and vegetables in the hotels? Or what does that look like for you?
You know what? When I travel, and which is all the time, I end up doing basically fasting every day. When I say every day, it's like I eat and I do this. Honestly, for the last 2 years, I've been doing that 80% of my time. I eat at midday, you know, and I will eat a big salad, you know, if I can have one, but like mostly a very big salad with, you know, I don't know, fruits and vegetables, you know, I try to avoid sauce, you know, like, you know, everything that. And then I don't eat anything in the evening and I don't eat anything the next morning. Mm. Why? Because on the plane, otherwise I also get sick and never eat on the plane ever. I feel my body contracts. It's, you know, so I do a bit of breathing And I meditate a lot actually on the plane because it helps me, you know, really get my body. I think, I don't know why, but I react a lot to travel like this. So, and mm-hmm. when I do this, I keep healthy. I'm not dehydrated and I don't have a jet lag as such.
Yeah.
So, you know, it really works.
Fasting's a great way. Fasting's a great way to support your gut health, to lower inflammation, support brain health. Yeah. We talk a lot about it on the podcast and written about it. Your average, how long are you fasting on a typical day? Do you know roughly the amount of time? Is it like do you do OMAD? It seems like you almost do OMAD in a way, which is one meal a day. Do you do
so it's
closer
called
to
OMAD?
That? OMAD is the acronym,
right.
OMAD. One meal a day. Is that what you do? You're basically getting all your calories in like a one meal or so?
Honestly, yes. Pretty much, but I'm not religious. So if my body says, oh, you know what, you feel like a banana, you know, at mm-hmm. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, then I'll have it, you know, or an apple in the morning, I'll have it. Coffee, right? Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to, most of the time I would say, yeah, it's roughly 20, 24 hours. But again, you know, my body feels like you need to have something, but I don't eat much, you know, I'd rather have, you know, small as well, you know, not like, you know, so at midday, when I say a big salad, because it's quite light on my body, right? So, and little grains as well, sometimes nuts and, you know, but I try and listen because I think everybody is different, right? So I listen to my body and what I need. I'm mm-hmm. very, you know, yeah, I'm very aware of, I know myself
intuitive.
Quite well now.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, hey, you didn't even know this, but what I tell my patients is to always be an intuitive faster. It's why I titled my third book, was it called Intuitive Fasting, Ryopi, because you're so intuitive. That's what you do is just regular part of your life. There's no religiosity or obsession about it. If you want to break a fast, you're following your body's guidance on that. I think that's the way that everybody should be doing these things.
I love hearing this. I agree. And that's why it's funny because it's, for me, you know, I'm 39 and I've had so many health issues since I'm a kid that every day of my life was a struggle to try and understand. But now mm-hmm. I've found a way that really works for me. And hearing you, you know, understanding it and you know, not judging it and being actually quite, you know, nice about it. It makes me feel good, you know, of course.
I love it. We're the same age too, man. 1983. Are you?
No way.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
83. Hey, 83 babies. Come on.
Which month?
October.
When?
October 5th, 1983.
Oh, wow. So you're Libra as well?
Yeah. Are you a Libra?
Yeah, 28th of September. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. See, well, I knew we were soul brothers. I knew about it.
There you go.
What is the weirdest wellness thing that you've done that you're willing to admit on a podcast?
Oh, yeah. I mean, quite a few. Well, all right. I have a little, I have a bit of a lab at home. So I love trying everything I can, you know. And I tried this peroxide, hydrogen peroxide. Tried it on my skin and stuff. I was, oh, that's great. That really works. Put it everywhere. And then went to the sun.
Oh, my gosh.
So that was very stupid of me. So then, of course, my beard was dyed. Everything
was orange. Yeah, my gosh.
Yeah, that was pretty dumb. And I've done quite a few stuff like this, you know, sometimes to try things or, you know, even the ice bath. You know, I do the ice, of course. You know, I'm a... You know, I ended up at Wim Hof's, you know, house in Netherlands, you know, going to the pond. Yeah, have you had him on your podcast?
No, we've talked before about it, but he has yet to come on, but we'll get him on soon.
Yeah, I mean, he's the crazy motherfucker, as he calls himself, I think, and he's an amazing and real, yeah, he's the real deal, absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely. So what, do you do cold baths pretty often, or what's that look like?
I mean, I love to challenge myself. I love to, you know, and that's why my lifestyle is a bit, but I love music always come back to my core, right? And for this, I'm like, all right, how do you compose? How, you know, how do you make music? And I'm always looking for this. It's like a quest, you know. I feel like a hobbit, you know, looking for a ring or something. You know? I'm looking for this perfect combination of sounds that's going to make me, you know, and make, you know, the whole world better, basically. That's my quest.
I love it. You're Frodo. You're the musical Frodo.
Yeah, there you go.
My friend, this has been a great conversation. Where can people go online to learn about your work, your music, all the things we've talked about?
I mean, of course, you know, I guess in the US on Amazon and Spotify and yeah.
My friend, this has been a great conversation. Come back anytime. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Thanks again for listening to The Art of Being Well. If you have a chance, please rate and review the podcast here. And if you like what you're hearing, hit follow and pass it along to a friend. To see more, head to drwillcole.com/podcast. I'll be back again next Thursday, and I hope you will too. Talk soon.
Note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.